Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. The following interview is designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be. Your host, Derek Champagne, is the founder and CEO of The Artist Evolution, a full-service agency building successful brands, marketing tools, and campaigns, and also the author of the best-selling book, Don't Buy a Duck. And now, let's begin today's Leadership Series interview.
Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where our goal is to inspire you to become the best leader that you can be. Our guest today, she is... a business change specialist and a champion sprint cyclist. The quickest way to innovate is to take lessons from one world and apply them in another. I can relate to that. I love that. She was the fastest woman in Scottish sprint cycling. As a Commonwealth Games medalist, she understands what it takes to plan, train, compete, and thrive on and off the track. She's helped several businesses, for teams as small as five up to business units of 1,500 plus. And she takes what she learned in excelling in sports to help entrepreneurs and business leaders lead their teams through crisis and change. That sounds like something much needed in this world right now. Jenny, thanks for being our guest today.
Thanks for having me, Derek. Looking forward to chatting, and hopefully your listeners will get some value from the exploration today.
Well, you've got such a unique story. It's exciting. I love stories like yours. Give us just kind of some highlights. You tell us about where you're from and just some highlights from your background, and just our listeners can get to know you for a few minutes.
Sure. So a quick skim. I was born and bred in Edinburgh, so it's a Scottish accent you're listening to just now. I was originally a judo player from a really young age, kind of put into that so that I could learn to defend myself from a young age. And then I competed from a young age internationally and nationally through till my early 20s, really, for Team Scotland and GB as part of their national squads. Fought all over the world, fought in Vegas and some other states in the US. And I had a year left at university and decided to take a bit of a pause on my sporting career so that I could finish my honours degree in health psychology with a really strong mark, and took a bit of time away from judo. Ended up kind of doing a talent transfer across into track cycling, which is one of the Olympic sports that you see cyclists ride on the big velodrome 250 meter wooden tracks, which tend to be either super fast sprints or pretty super fast endurance as well, with the more skinny guys and girls. I rode at Delhi Commonwealth Games, brought a medal home for Team Scotland. I was just pipped at the post for London Olympics for Team GB, and then went through Glasgow Commonwealth Games, and kind of between those three different cycles, I kicked off my career and my professional life through change, business improvement, and transformation. And those two journeys of kind of world-class track cyclist and change leader and transformation specialist, those journeys have kind of intertwined and have continued to do so. I retired a few years ago from competing internationally, but I'm still a massive fan, still train every day. And one of the books that I'm reading just now is still on. I think it's How Does It Make the Boat Go Faster, which is British Rowan's story, and how they've transformed. So even though I was at the top of my sport, my career's finished, there's still so many lessons to take from sports in particular. And like you said, the quickest way to innovate is to take lessons that have come from one world and apply it to another. Well, so that's one of the things I do.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that. When you first, you could, on the surface, what does being a judo champion and a medal winning cyclist, how does that translate to business? But I can see several things that will. So I want to dig in just a minute, but I can see about efficiency and commitment and teamwork. And there's just all these things that make sense that they would apply. And so mm-hmm. what gave you, I'm curious, so before you start sharing some of the principles, what interested you in that transition? Like why doing what you're doing now?
So I didn't plan it. It kind of happened accidentally. I had had a massive increase in performance between Delhi Commonwealth Games and my trials for GB team for London Olympics. And the business unit that I was working in at the time, which was a pensions company based in Edinburgh in the UK, the department manager that I had asked me to present how I'd improved my sporting performance. And although I did that, I presented improvement principles. I just used some of the stories from my cycling career to kind of articulate those. Mm. And once the presentation was finished, she asked if I felt those principles could be applied in the business. I said yes. And she said, do you want to come out of role half your week and help me find some improvements in the business? And that's what I did. And that was the launch of my change and transformation career. Hmm. One presentation, one leader saw something. I shared for 45 minutes. It sparked a little idea. I said it was definitely an opportunity, and she kind of stoked the fire on it. So, and you know, years later, qualifications later, lots of businesses, lots of customers helped, millions of pounds saved, all from the catalyst of one conversation that came from how did you improve your cycling performance?
Wow. That, very exciting. So I want to jump right into a couple questions. And since we've got your expertise here, talk to me about, especially right now with all the change and crisis happening. I know I can say in my own company, our team was displaced. We were going through some management changes during the same time when everyone went into quarantine and customer changes. And wow, was there crisis and change. Mm. I mean, at the highest level, and it just seemed to continue. And we're still looking at it for worldwide in so many ways. And I know this is not just applied to quarantine and those things, but I can relate to it. How do you lead and support your team through crisis and change?
So I think it's there's a kind of a couple of key areas I think are important to focus on. So one is about understanding what's going on and where are people in that journey, because somebody who is fearful and maybe have some personal stuff going on top of the business is going to need different support to somebody who maybe has gone through a lot more tough times and has built up some resilience and is kind of just taking it as it comes. So I think understanding where people are and understanding, that change curve that is quite commonly talked about that people go through, denial and anger and then depression, and then they eventually grow to accept the change. So I think understanding where people are on that, including yourself, because I've kind of seen leaders when there's been announcements of redundancy or job changes, and there's a team of people that are all flapping and all panicking, and they're very emotional and they're causing a lot of stress. But part of the reason for that is because that is what their manager's doing about themselves. So I think understanding where you are and then likewise where your team is, so you know what to support them. And when these things are happening, I know it's difficult to do, but if you're a leader, then you've got to remain calm and composed. And I guess it's just about being really open and honest and keeping the communication channels open. And sometimes there's a need, especially if you know, you're in a business that's been massively impacted, sometimes you have to take a step back and flex, or I think the term, a really good term to use is pivot. There's lots of businesses have had to pivot their business model, because if they don't, they won't survive. So definitely moving forward, you know, the businesses that can remain agile and flex and pivot will be those ones that are successful in the future, because, you know, 2020 has been, no one could have predicted this. Right. And it's, you know, all the balls have been thrown up in the air, and some of them have been dropped, and some of them are still way up there. And the business owners who can flex with that and be agile and remain calm and lead their people through that journey will definitely be the ones that will be successful and potentially have businesses that completely take off while everyone else is kind of still trying to muddle through because they haven't been able to take a step back and look at things differently.
It's such great advice, and the leader has to be self-reflective and brutally honest and work through those things on their end if they expect the team to follow. And another thing that stands out to me too is have an authenticity. So not selling something that's not there, but if you have a good vision and you're painting the vision for your team, even in a pivot, and you've done that hard work, which again is on yourself, there's an opportunity for growth and to actually have a team that follows you during this.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just great advice. I'd like to go there more. Let's talk about people who are working from home right now. You know, we have people ourselves, some in the office, some out for the foreseeable, unforeseeable future. How do people work from home? Those that are used to it are maybe okay, but a lot of people find themselves suddenly in a spot where they're distracted and it's not maybe the ideal working conditions. Do you have some advice for them?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a big believer in understanding and knowing what your optimum working conditions are. And there's some kind of really obvious ways to find that out. So what time of day is good for you? And you'll know that just, you know, if you keep an eye on it over a couple of weeks and months, you know, if you've had plenty of life experience, you'll know whether you're better in the morning, mid-afternoon, late in the evening, you're like a night owl. So time of day, what conditions around you do you like? So you hear about some students that like music and the radio in the background. Do you like silence? I personally like music that doesn't have like words and singing. So like movie soundtrack music or something quiet that's classical. For specific tasks, other times I'm quite happy just having silence. It might be the clothes that you wear, the room that you work in. And once you work out all the different environmental things that put you into an optimum state, it's about consistently creating those conditions if you can. You may not be able to create it for the whole day, especially if you've got family or kids or dogs or cats running around in the background. But no one's going to be productive, massively productive for 7 or 8 hours a day. It's just not physically possible from an energy point of view. So it's more about, can you buy yourself those conditions for even if it's just an hour in the morning, and you do your most important task for that hour, and the same in the afternoon. And there's nothing wrong with signposting, you know, to the people that are in the household. This is my power hour. Shout out to Deirdre Ramsey, who gave it the name a few years ago. This is my power hour, 10 till 11 and 2 till 3. That's when you do your really, really most important work. And the rest of the time, you know, and I mean like switch off your phone, switch off your email notifications and really concentrate for those 2 hours. So I think part of it's about optimum working conditions, and part of it's about being really clear about what your priorities are. And if the thing that you're doing isn't going to help you get towards that priority, then I would question why you were doing it in the first place. And then the rest of it, the rest of the condition stuff literally is like you got your three-year-old running about screaming in the background when you, right. when you're on work calls. So I've got colleagues that the way they handle it is they like invite the kid in to the call for a minute, put the headset on, say hi to everyone. Right, that's you, done your bit. Leave mummy to get on now, and then the kid's away, and they get them involved just for a little snippet and explain to them what's going on, and then explain to them why it's important to give them a bit of space. So I think working from home, it's about chunking it up, trying to create some small parts of your optimum conditions. And, you know, it's also, there's also a bit about getting out and mixing up your routine. Like I've been working from home since March. And I've had to mix up my health and fitness routine and even some of the meals and things that I cook, because my day-to-day life, there's not a lot of variation. And I was finding myself kind of getting a little bit bored. And it's difficult when you're in lockdown, you can't be social, or you can't see your friends or family in person. So a little bit of variation, you can bring that in through other ways to kind of to keep the creep of boredom, I guess, at arm's length for a little bit longer.
Yeah, great advice. Thanks for sharing that. I want to take a minute too. We've got just a few minutes left. And talk to me about, I mean, business stress is so high right now. And talk to me about turning business stress and firefighting into more calm, profitable growth.
So my kind of philosophy in life is far too short for all that stress, firefighting, and emotional draining, working 8 hours a week. It's life's too short to do that all the time. So my view in life is the things that you do a lot that you, it is essentially a process, is if you can systematize that, if you can simplify it, make it really efficient, get it to the point that either you delegate it, automate it, or if you have to do it, at least have a checklist or a little guide that you can follow that means you don't need to think about it anymore. And it means the things that are most important to you, you can push your energies and time and money into it. So a really good example, when I'm doing podcast interviews, I have a checklist that I run that's pre-interview, tick, tick, tick. I have one for when I'm doing the interview, and I have one for doing after. And because I have that checklist, it allows me to concentrate. I can be prepared before it. I feel confident. I feel ready. I can give the most that I possibly can to you and your listeners. And I don't need to worry because the checklist is sorted out, all the detailed things that I don't need to think about. And it means I can throw all my time and energy into being the best possible guest and providing the most value, because that's the most important thing in this moment for me and for you and your listeners. So I'm big on, you've only got a little, you know, a set amount of time and energy and money in your life. Systematize and get rid of the stuff that you don't need to do or can be made easier. And the time that you've got left, use that fully to bring more value and be more creative and solve the problems that you're really good at, because you've got more time and energy and money to put that to good use, because you've got rid of everything else. So that's kind of a really short summary of why I think it's important. And it's not difficult. It's just about taking the time to do it, or find someone that can help you do that.
Jenny, thank you for that advice. Yeah, your website, strivechange.org. Is there any other site or thing that you would like to share as well?
No, everything's on strivechange.org. Or if your listeners are on LinkedIn, I know we connected earlier this week. So if anybody wants to connect on there as an alternative, then happy to chat.
I want to encourage everybody to check out that website, strivechange.org, connect with Jenny on LinkedIn. She helps entrepreneurs and business leaders to lead their teams through crisis and change. She just got to share a few examples and tips today. She helps them to stop the constant firefighting, the high stress and high emotion, running around like headless chickens, feeling in their teams, business and personal lives. And she helps them instead gain calm and control. Doesn't that sound great for their teams, businesses, and personal lives? By taking those core sporting principles she's learned and applying them to business. Jenny, thank you again for being our guest, and we look forward to watching the next great things that you do.
Thank you, Derek.
All right, take care.
You've been listening to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. This interview was designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be.